All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Samech Gimel. Beautiful, beautiful piece of Gemara today we have in front of us. We are starting on Samech Beis Amud Beis. Today's daf is 63. We are picking up on 62b. And we are picking up, let's actually just pick up with Amar Rav Yehuda. It's a 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Last two words. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Shnei kevashim ketan yotzim min hakevesh. Shabahem ponim liyisod ulesoveg. So we actually read this yesterday. There are two smaller ramps which come off of the primary mizbeah, one headed towards the base and one headed towards the ledge. So the Gemara says umuvdalin mina mizbeah malo neimo, and I will say each of them are a bit detached from the mizbeah, just by a hair's breadth. Mishum shenehemar soviv. Because it will say, ultimately, again, the Pasuk says, Saviv. Now, we're going to discuss what that drasha means in just a moment. Rabbi Avo says, no, it's based on the drasha of Ravua. Since the Mizbeach has to be squared, therefore, by definition, the smaller ramps which come off the sides, so ultimately, again, cannot be directly attached, because then the Mizbeach is not squared all the way around. So the Gemara says as follows. The truth is, as we're going to see now, so we actually need both of the drashas, both Saviv and Ravua. Why? Because of Rachmana Saviv. Because if the Pasuk would have just said Saviv, Hava Amina da Agil Ma'agil, I would have thought that Rav said maybe Saviv means that the Mizbeach could even be rounded. Therefore, again, because of Rachmana Ravua. Therefore, the Pasuk says no, that the Mizbeach is squared. Because of Rachmana Ravua, and if the Pasuk would have just said Ravua, would have just said squared, Hava Amina da'arech ve'katin. I would have thought that again, as long as the opposite sides are of the same length, so you could have, again, one set of sides longer and one set of sides smaller. Therefore, Kasav Rachmana Saviv. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk said that the Mizbeach must be the same size on every side. Tanan Hasam. Hakevesh HaMizbeach Shishim Ushtayim. So we'll say that the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that says that the ramp and the Mizbeach were 62 amos long. Ay, honey, Shisin Varbanavu, but that's not true. In fact, we know that the total was 64 amos, to which the Gemara says, Nimtza Poreach Ama Al Yisod Va'ama Al Soviv. To which the Gemara says that ultimately the ramp extended one amma onto the base and one amma onto the ledge. In other words, that there are two amos that ultimately, again, overlapped. So because there are two amos that overlapped, the total was 64 amos in length. But Lamaisa, again, because two amos overlapped, it was, 64. But because they overlapped, therefore it's 62. Amar Satav of Samech Gimel. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Kol Kivshei Kavashim Shalosh Amos La'amo. We'll say in general, when we have ramps, so Rabbi will say there is one amma in height for every three amos of length. So one amma in height for every three amos of length, with one exception, chutz mekiv shel shamizbeach. Rabbi will say with one exception, which is the ramp leading up to the mizbeach. Why? Shaya shalosh amos umechza ve'etzba ushalish etzba bizachrusa. Rabbi will say the elevation for the ramp of the mizbeach was in fact what? Was in fact shalosh amos umechza ve'etzposha, was actually one amma of height for every three amos and one third etzbaos being measured by the width of the joint on the thumb, which is another way of saying that the elevation of the kevesh of the ramp of the mizbeach actually was a more gradual elevation than normal. Why is that? Because we both say, since the Kohen had to carry up pieces of meat to the top of the ramp, right? He carried up, remember, pieces of the animal, pieces of the carbon, up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, to the Ma'aracha, we made the slope more gradual, so as to be able, ultimately, again, the Kohen to have a little bit more ease in carrying up the various pieces of meat. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, Menachos, Hayu Nikmatos B'chol Makom Ba'azara. Now we'll say, we're transitioning, ultimately, to Karban Mincha. Karban Mincha, ultimately, again, you could do the Kemitza b'chol makom. You could do the Kemitza in any place, ba'azara, in any place in the courtyard, you do the kemitza. V'ne'echalos lifnim na'kalayim l'zichrei kuna b'chol machol l'yom v'layla ad chatzos. So when it comes to Karban Mincha, the kemitza can be done anywhere in the azara. Not only that, v'ne'echalos lifnim na'kalayim l'zichrei kuna, they can be consumed anywhere within the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash for male kohanim. B'chol ma'achol means they could be prepared any way you want. The yom v'alayla ad chatzos, for one day and for one night up until midnight. Those are the halachos of Karban Mincha. Am Rebbe Elazar, mincha shenik mitzah b'heichal k'sheira. We'll say, what happens, so here's what's interesting. What happens if you did the kemitza in the heichal? What happens if you did the kemitza in the actual Beis HaMikdash itself? So ultimately, again, the Gemara of Rabbi Elazar says, it's kosher. It's kosher. Why? Shekin matzino besiluk bazichin. This is very interesting. Because at the end of the day, we see that they would go ahead and take the spoons of, the Rabbi said, the solus bazichin was the spoons of frankincense that would sit on the shulchan, that would be offered up every Shabbos in order to go ahead and allow the Kohanim to consume the lechem haponim. Now, what's the connection here? Take a look at Rashi, almost right across in Rashi. Sheke matzino basiluk bazichin, shehein askara leminchas lechem haponim. Because it will say the bazichin, ultimately, again, were the part that was offered up for the karban mincha, for the lechem haponim. So we'll say it was only after you offered up the bazichin that the lechem haponim became fit for consumption. So we'll say, interesting enough, what the Gemara suggests is that the offering up of the bazichin for the lechem haponim was the equivalent of the kemitza for the karban mincha. And just like the bazichin were offered up in the heichal, so too, again, if you did kemitza in the heichal, that works as well. So the Gemara says, Master of Yom Yah, so Rabbi Yom Yah raises a kasha, he says, the kamatz misham, so we'll say the pasuk says, the way the pasuk reads is, vehevia el b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim, the kamatz misham melo kumtso. So what does it mean, mikamatz misham? Mimakom sheragli hazar omdos. Now, I will say, the misham teaches me that halacha l'maisa, the kmitza, could only be done in a place, sheragli hazar omdos, where the non-kohanim have the ability to stand. So we'll say, which sounds like, kmitza could only be done in a place where there can be non-kohanic traffic. So where could there be non-kohanic traffic? Pretty much anywhere and everywhere outside of the Heichal, but not in the Heichal itself. So this is the Kasha. We just got finished saying, Rabbi Elazar said, that technically speaking, you could even do the Kemitza in the Heichal itself. Where did he learn it out from? From the Bazichin, from the spoons of frankincense that sat on the Shulchan by the Lechem Aponim. The Bazichin are effectively like the Kemitza on behalf of the Lechem Aponim. So just like the Bazichin are done in the Heichal, so too the Kemitza can be done in the Heichal. Comes along Rabbi Yom and says, 1 second, the Kamas Misham teaches me that the Kemitza has to be done in a place where non-Kohanim have the ability to go ahead and walk. Non-Kohanim can't walk in the Heichal, therefore you shouldn't be able to do the Kemitza in the Heichal as well. To which the Gemara says, V'kamas Misham, Mimakom Shragli HaKohanim, Shragli Hazar Omdos. Ben Beseiro, Beseiro says, Minayim Shim Kamatz Bismol She. So we'll say the Gemara goes on a tangent here for just a moment. So Beseiro says, How do I know? Minayim Shim Kamatz Bismol She Yachzer V'Yikmotz V'Yamin. How do I know that even if I did kemitza, let's say the kohen did kemitza with the left hand, which we'll say is illegal. Kemitza is supposed to be done with the right hand. But how do I know that if a kohen did kemitza with his left hand, She Yachzer V'Yikmotz V'Yamin, that he should go back and do kemitza with his right hand? Others will say, what do you do if you do kemitza with your left hand? Put it back in, right? Return the 3 fingerfuls of fine flour, put it back in, and redo. And redo, do kemitza again with the right hand. Talmud Lomar, Misham. Because the pasuk says from there, Mimakom Shekamatz Kvar. So we'll say, Misham teaches me that I go ahead and what? I could do kemitza again, from the place where I initially did kemitza. Now, that has nothing to do with our conversation for now, but that's a lead into the next part. Ikeda Amri, there are others who explain, Amr Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Tachlifa. Aspera lecha. Let me explain this to you. Lo nitzricha ela lahachshir kol ha'azara kula. In fact, that Misham Rabosai is coming to teach me that what? It's coming to teach me that the entire Azara is fit for Kmitza. Why, Rabosai, what's happening over here? Sagadait Chamina, I might have thought, Hawil va'ole kodshe kadashim, umincha kodshe kadashim. Rabosai, watch this. I would have thought as follows. Since an Ola is kodshe kadashim, and the Mincha is kodshe kadashim, Rabosai, they're both in the same Karbanic family of kodshe kadashim. So I might have thought as follows. I might have thought, ma'ola tu'una tzafon, af mincha tu'una tzafon. I would have thought that just as an ola has to be done in the north, so too the mincha has to be done in the north. Ma'la ola shekin kalil. Now, we'll say, now, by the way, Rashi points out over here that this is actually a flawed argument, which we're not going to get into now, but Rashi actually points out over here. We'll come back to it. Let's leave it for now. Mala ola. Mala ola shekin tuuna. Sorry, I lost the place. Ma ola tuuna tzafon af mincha tuuna tzafon. Mala ola shekin kolil. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, but one second. So we'll say, what the Gemara is going as follows. The Pasuk Misham teaches me that mincha can be offered up anywhere. Now what's the Havamina? The Havamina is, I might have thought that since mincha is kodshei kadashim, ola is kodshei kadashim, just like ola has to be done b'tzafon, so too mincha has to be done b'tzafon. See, here says the Gemara, I don't understand, why would I learn out mincha from ola? After all, when it comes to ola, mal ola shekin kalil. But say ola is different than mincha, why? Because ola is totally consumed on the mizbeach, when mincha is not. To which the Gemara says, okay, I can learn out mincha from chatos. Right? Just like chatos requires tzafon, ultimately again, so ola should also require tzafon. To which the Gemara says, that comparison is not good either. Why? Ma'ala chatos shekein mechaperes. Al-chai ve'krisus. Ultimately, I will say chatos is different. Why? Because chatos, ultimately again, is mechaper and chai ve'krisus. To which the Gemara says, okay, learn it out from asham. Learn out mincha from asham. You can't do that either. Why? Ma lo asham shekein mine damim. We'll say, can't learn out from asham. Why? Because asham has blood offerings, as opposed to mincha, which does not have any blood offerings. To which the Gemara says, mikulhu. So maybe I can't learn out mincha from any particular one, but maybe I'll learn out mincha from all of them. From all of them, and ultimately, again, we'll say, essentially, Rashi points out, learn out from a ma'atzad. What's the ma'atzad? What's the kam denominator, we'll say? All of these are kodshei kadashim, and what? Require tzafon. So too, I will say that mincha is also kodesh kadashim, and requires tzafon, to which the Gemara says, malkulu shekein mine damim. We'll say, here's the difference. The difference is with all of these items, they have blood offerings that's associated with them, which Karban Mincha does not. Ela itzrich sakadait chamina. So we'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara says as follows. I need the limud for the following purpose. Sakadait chamina, I might have thought, hoil uksiv ve'gish al mizbeach ve'herim mimeno bekumtso. So we'll say, the lashon of the pasuk is as follows. The pasuk reads, "Ve'veisa es hamincha shayase me'ela la'Hashem, v'kriva el ha'kohen, v'higisha el ha'mizbeach." The pasuk says, "Ve'karba mincha that what? That you shall bring it close to the mizbeach, v'heirim mimenu kumtso, and you shall go ahead and what? You shall go." Now these psukim are not juxtaposed; they're different prakim in Vayikra. But lamaisa again, they're all talking about karban mincha. So therefore, the pasuk says, "Vegisha la mizbeach, you shall bring it close to the mizbeach, veheirim mimenu bikumso, and you shall go ahead and offer up the kamitza." So I would say as follows: Mahagosha bekeren ma'aravis diromis. Just like Rabbi say, ultimately again, what? The offering of that kamitza. Where is that done? That's done on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Af kamitza bekeren ma'aravis diromis. So to Rabbi say, maybe the kamitza itself has to be done where? On the southwest corner as well. So remember again, by Karban Mincha, there's two pieces over here. Karban Mincha has kamitza. Kmitza is effectively the equivalent of shchita by other karbanos. So there's the kmitza, and then there's the hagasha, which we would call ultimately the offering of the kmitza. We know that the offering of the kmitza, what we call the hagasha, is done by the southwest corner of the mizbeach. So I might have thought that just as the hagasha is done on the southwest corner, so to what? So to the kmitza is done on the southwest corner as well. Kamash molon no. Kamash on Ephra Bosai the Pasek. The drasha of Misham teaches me that ultimately, again, the kmitza can be done anywhere in the Azara, anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, so Bosai, so that closes out the Karban Mincha discussion. That the Karban Mincha, ultimately, again, the kmitza can be done b'chol makom ba'azara. The kmitza can be done in any place in the azara. The hagasha, the offering itself, is done on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Okay, now that I have that, Am Rabbi Yochanan, shlamim sheshachtan beheichol ksherim. We'll say next case. What about shlamim that were shechted in the heichol? So we'll remember again, normally where do you offer up shlamim? You offer up shlamim somewhere in the azara, somewhere, right? What happens if the shlamim ultimately was shechted inside? We'll say, remember, heichol refers to the actual structure that we call, when we speak about the Beis HaMikdash, we're speaking about the compound. So the compound itself is comprised of a courtyard, right? Of an inner courtyard which housed the outer Mizbeach, and of a building. In that building, again, you have the antechamber, which is called the ulam, which is like the long structure. And then you have the perpendicular structure to that, which we call the heichal, which we write, that's the Beis HaMikdash proper, which houses the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach hapanimi, the golden altar for incense offering, and of course then behind the curtain, the kodesh hakadoshim. So we'll say, what happens if a person shechts his shlamim in the heichal, inside the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash? So what's the halacha? Ksherim. It works, even though that's not the regular place for the offering of the shlamim. Nevertheless, if you offered up your shlamim there, it is kasher. How do we know that? Shene'emar. Because the pasuk says, "V'shachtu oso pesach oel moed." So, because the pasuk says, we'll say when it comes to shlamim, it says, "You shall offer it pesach oel moed at the entranceway of the oel moed." Now, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Shene'emar v'shachtu pesach oel moed v'chulei alma miditala hechsher azara l'shlamim bepesach oel moed shmamina oel moed ikar." The Azara Tafal. And Bosei, this is actually a very interesting drasha of the Pasuk. So the Pasuk says, by the Shechit of the Shlamim, that you could shecht it at the entranceway of the Oel Moed. Now, what the Gemara's understanding to mean is as follows. That you could even shecht it at the entranceway of the Oel Moed. Even shecht it at the, which means what? Which means what they're both saying? That certainly you can shecht it in the Oel Moed itself, but rather, because that's the Iker, but you can even shecht it at the entranceway of the Oel Moed. So we'll say, v'shachtu oso pesach Oel Moed, v'lo yehi tafel chamer min ha'Iker. That ultimately the Taf, Rabosai, which we refer to as the courtyard over here, should be no more chamer than the Iker, which is the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So it's a very interesting way of interpreting the Pasuk. The Azara, the courtyard, is the Tafel, is the secondary area. If you could shech the Shlamim in the secondary area, then what? You certainly can shech it in the primary area, which is the Heichal itself. So may say the Gemara is the Kasha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Beseira Omer, Minayin Shimi Kifu Ovei Kochav Mes Kol Azara. This is an interesting case. What happens if the Beis HaMikdash is under siege? Under siege. And what happens? While it's under siege, so the besieging army is throwing some type of projectiles into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azar, into the courtyard, which makes eating karbanos in the courtyard impossible. So what could the Kohanim do? Says, Shakohanim Nichnasim L'sham V'ochlin Sham Kochei Kadashim. That Kohanim could go ahead and take their karbanos, take the sacrificial meat, right, that they have, and go ahead and eat it inside the Heichal. So again, it was a very interesting case. The Beis HaMikdash is besieged. The besieging army is raining down some type of projectiles into the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Kohanim can't eat in the Azara. So what can they do? They could take their sacrificial items, go into the Heichal and eat it there. I don't know if they can do that. Talmud Lomar, Bekodesh HaKadoshim Tochlenu. Ultimately, again, the Pasuk says, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you shall eat it. Okay, Va'amai. So it says the Gemara, why is this so? And I'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'amai. Im yisad da'amrina lo yehe tafal chamar mena ikar. Lameli lemichtav haikra lach shurehe chalachi. Let's catch him. Haksiv behu b'chatzar alamoid. V'neima lo yehe tafal chamar mena ikar. And I'll say, now understand, what did we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying, shalo yehe tafal chamar mena ikar. The secondary item should not be any more chamar than the primary one. Now, Bosse, remember, what did we just say? We said by Shlomim, the Pasuk says, Vishachtu oso Pesach oel moed, which tells me that I could shecht the Karban Shlomim, I could shecht the Shlomim at the entranceway of the Beis Midrash in the Azara. Now, the Gemara just said, if I could shecht it in the Azara, then what? I certainly could shecht it in the Heichal as well. Shaloi tehe tafel chamra mina ikr. The secondary place should not be any more chamra than the primary place. So one second. I don't see, you just finished telling me, Kohanim are permitted to go ahead and eat karbanos in the Azara, in the courtyard. Now you're telling me that if the besieging army is raining down some type of projectiles, that they could go ahead and take their sacrificial meat and eat it in the Heichal. But why do I need a pasuk for that? Why don't they just say, Shaloi yehe tafel chamra mina ikr? If they could go ahead and eat it in the courtyard, then what? Then what? They certainly could eat it in the Heichal itself. Why do I need a pasuk for that? To which the Gemara says, Va'amai, neima b'chatzar al-moed yochlu. Certainly, again, if the pasuk says that you could eat it in the chatzar al-moed, certainly I could eat it in the Kodesh itself. Lo yehe tafel chamra mina ikr. To which the Gemara says, the comparison is not correct. Hachi ashda, Hasam avoda da adam oved b'makom rabo. Amrina lo ye tafel charam in ha'ikar. Shabbos say, when it comes ultimately again to the shechita of the shlamim, which is the avoda, right? Shabbos say, a person does the avoda in the presence of his Rebbe. Person will do avoda in the presence of his master. So when it comes to avoda, the Torah is teaching me that what? That if the avoda could be done in the azara by the shlamim, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. If the avoda can be done in the azara in the courtyard, then certainly again the avoda can be done where? Inside the Beis HaMikdash itself. Why? So Amrina and Lo Yehi Tafal Chamar Mena Iker. Because they both say that's avoda. If avoda can be done in a secondary place, like the courtyard, it certainly can be done in a primary place, like the Heichal. However, Achila, De'ein Adam Ochel B'Makom Rabo. Rabbi say achila consumption, where normally again a servant will not eat in the presence of his Rebbe, as is considered to be a sign of disrespect. So lo yehi tafel charam mina ikar lo arminan. So we'll say, again, this is amazing. We would not automatically say, shalo yehi tafel charam mina ikar. As Rabbi say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows, that the cases of shlomim and karbanic consumption are two different cases. The case of shlomim, Rabbi say, is a case of avoda. So the Gemara is teaching me that once the pasuk said that I do the shechita, Pesach Oel Moed, so we'll say, it's obvious that what? That I could certainly go ahead and do the avoda inside the Heichal itself. Why? Shelo yehe tafel chamra mina ikr. Because we'll say, if I could do the shechita, the avoda, in the courtyard, I certainly could do the shechita, the avoda, in the presence of my Rebbe, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inside the Azara. That's because it's avoda. When it comes to consumption, however, consumption, again, is not part of the avoda. Consumption would not normally be done in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, just because consumption can be done in the azar, in the courtyard, does not automatically lead me to the conclusion that consumption can be done in the azara. Excuse me, in the heichal. Therefore, what? Therefore, I need the pasuk to teach me that under extenuating circumstances where consumption cannot be done in the courtyard, I do have the ability to, what Rabbi say, perform the act of consumption inside the heichal itself. Good. Incredible Gemara. So we'll say it's Gavaiter. Mishnah. Chatas ha'of. We'll say bird offering. Bird chatos. Bird chatos. Remember again, bird chatos is brought in certain circumstances. More often than not, the bird chatos is brought in cases of a carbon ola v'yored. It's brought in cases where there is an obligation ultimately to bring a chatos, but the person can't afford his own animal. Can't afford a regular animal. So he brings this variable type of chatos, which is an oaf. There are other examples of this where lemaisa, again, a woman after childbirth brings a chatas ha'of irrespective of her own financial situation. So chatas ha'of, whenever you bring a chatas ha'of, so chatas ha'of, Haisa Naasis al Karen Dramis Ma'aravis. Rabbosai, the Chatasof. The Avoda was performed on the southwest corner. Ubechol Mokom Haisek Shera. And in reality, you could perform this Avoda anywhere you want. Elazer Haisa Mekoma. But I will say, even though you could perform the Chatasof anywhere, this seemingly was the preferred space. We'll say again, the Gemara is going to try to reconcile these shitos, because on one hand, it's contradictory to tell me that you have to do it on the southwest corner, but then to say you can do it wherever you want doesn't seem to shtim very well. So the Gemara will discuss it. Ushlosha dvarim haisa ose karen mishameshas milamato, ushlosha milamalo. So it was when it came to the southwest corner, there were three things that had to be done on the upper part of the southwest corner, and three things that were done on the lower part of the southwest corner. What were they? So the Gemara says, Shlosh Dorav Haisa Osekar Mishmeshas Milamata, Shlosh Milamata. Milamata, we'll say what was down, what was done on the lower part of the southwest corner. We'll say when we say what was done, we're talking about sprinkling of blood, hazos. So three types of hazos which were done on the upper part of the corner, three types of hazos which were done on the lower part of the corner. What was done in the lower part of the corner? Milamata, chatas ha'uf, was the sprinkling of the blood of the chatas ha'uf. Vahagoshos, ushiyare hadam. So we'll say, Rashi says, hagoshos, shal menachos, kodem kemitzas, and kedichsev vihigisha. So we'll say, again, the bringing close, and the Gemara is going to discuss what this is, but the bringing close, ultimately, again, of the kemitzos, of the menachos, and shiyare hadam, and the spilling out of the leftover blood. These were all things that were done on the upper part of the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Umila Malon, we'll say what was done on the upper part of the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Nisu Chayayin, we'll say ultimately again wine libations. Vahamayim, water libations. Va'olas Ha'ov, and the old bird offering for Olas. Kishihi Rabba B'Mizrach, well, this is actually interesting. When there was too much Kohanic traffic on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, so they would go ahead and do the Ola Sa'of on the southwest corner. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss the, so Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi just for a moment, for Ola Sa'of, we'll say it's the first of the widest lines in Rashi, the Iker Mekoman Bekeren Teromis Mizrachis, because in reality, the primary place of the Ola Sa'of was on the southwest corner, but Lamais, again, when there was too much Kohanic traffic, they moved it over. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says as follows: Kol ha'olim mizbeach, olim derech yamin. We'll say furthermore again: anyone who goes up on the mizbeach, you always go; they always go right. Now, this already we saw yesterday's daf. So, whenever you go up on the mizbeach, so remember the kohen ascends the ramp, and he goes right. Olim derech yamin on the base, umakifin v'yardin derech smol. So, we'll say if you could imagine, when the kohanim goes up on the mizbeach, essentially he goes counterclockwise. Right? He goes counterclockwise. He goes up to the right, and he comes down on the left. Chutz min ha'ola legimel elu. We'll say with one exception, when the Kohanim ascends for these three items that we mentioned before, he goes a little bit different. Rashi says over here, legimel dvar me'elu, it's the last of the widest lines on top. Hanasim bekeren ma'aramis deromis. So we'll say these three things that we discussed before that were done by the southwest corner, nisachim, the wine libations, ola sa'of kishrei, of the ola sa'of kishu, ola lemizbeach, pona l'smol, Ba'osa Karen. We'll say when the coin comes up for these three things that we mentioned, ultimately what? He goes up to the left. Ba'osa Karen, Kishigamar, Chuzer al Ha'akev, Derech al Yasav. So we'll say for these three things that we mentioned, he goes left, and he simply retraces his steps backwards. So the Gemara says, go back to the Mishnah. So Makiv Vyardin Chot Derech Smol Chutz Mina Ol Gimel Elu Shayu Olin Vyardin Alaki. So we'll say for these three things that we mentioned, what would happen? The coin would go up on the Mizbeach, would go to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, and then what? He would simply retrace his steps backwards. Good. Says the Gemara. Minahani Mili. We'll say from where do we know this? From where do we know what? Rashi says Minahani Mili. Dechata Sa'of Bekeren Ma'aravis Dromis. I will say, from where do we know that the Chata Sa'of was offered up on the southwest corner? Amr Rabbi Yeshua, Amr Kra, because the Pasuk says, Lo yasim aleha shemen, for lo yitin aleha levona, ki chatos hi. I will say, because the Pasuk says, you shall not go ahead and place upon it shemen, nor shall you place upon it levona. Why? Because it is a chatos. because it is a chatas. So we'll say, just to hear with this pasuk in its entirety, the pasuk is ve'im lo sasig yado l'shtei torim l'shnei b'nei yona ve'evias karbon shechata asiris ha'efa solus l'chatas. So we'll say this is talking about a carbon chatas that is an ola v'yoreit, right? A variable carbon chatas. Well, let's say a person can't even afford the bird offering. So instead, what does he do? He brings the meal offering. So the Torah says by the carbon chatas, so I'll say, if you are bringing a meal offering, ultimately, again, for what purpose? If you are bringing a meal offering for a chatos, you do not introduce into it shemen or levona. Why? Because it is a chatos. So watch this. So the Gemara says, ki chatosi, chatos kruya mincha, u mincha kruya chatos. So I'll say, it teaches us something very interesting. We see that a carbon mincha is called the chatos, and a carbon chatos is called the mincha. What do I learn from that interchangeability? Ma chatos tu'unat safon, af mincha tu'unat safon. Just like a chatos has to be shechted in the north, so to a mincha has to be offered. Has to be offered in the north. Nebosan Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, it's actually not true. Rashi says, if you look at it, Rashi, machatas tunat safon, yodea ani shegirsa zu shibush. I know that in fact this girsa is mistaken. Shari lo chatas sa'ov v'lo mincha taun safon. Because we'll say, in reality, neither chatas sa'ov nor mincha require north. We'll say, we just learned this. What did the Mishnah just say? The Mishnah just said, we'll say, that's what? That chatas sa'ov haisa na'ase al keren dromis maravis. That the chatas of is done on the southwest corner. Further in Yerubos, the previous Mishnah taught me that where is Minchadan? Right? Menachos hayum nikmatos pechom makum ba'azara. So we'll say the Minchad can be done anywhere. So Rashi says, this is clearly a mistaken girsa. So what is the proper girsa? If you skip down to the end of that Rashi says the following. Venira be'enai, what it means to say is as follows. Machatas psula shelo lishma, af mincha psula shelo lishma. But so what the Gemara means to say is as follows. Just like chatas is psula when it's shelo lishma, right, when not offered up for the proper intent, so too mincha is pasul when it's not offered up for the proper intent. So what's I say? The Gemara goes weiter. Uma mincha bekeren ma'arav is duromis. Af chatas bekeren ma'arav is duromis. So I would say, just like the mincha is offered up on the southwest corner, but remember, what is that referring to? What does it mean when it says the southwest corner? That refers ultimately to what? To the Hagasha. Remember again, we saw before in the Mishnah, the Kemitza can be done anywhere, but the Hagasha, the bringing of the Kemitza, right, on the Mizbeach is done on the southwest corner. So just like mincha is done on the southwest corner, so too what? Afchatas bekeren ma'arav is duromis. So too the chatas ultimately is brought on the southwest corner. So the Gemara says, mincha gufa minalan. Where do I know the mincha itself that this halacha is true? So the Rebbe said, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Uman mincha tuna hagasha bekeren ma'arav is duromis. Just like the mincha requires its hagasha, the bringing of the kemitza, not the taking of the kemitza. So also remember again, let's be clear. The taking of the kemitza is done where? Anywhere in the Azara. That's the previous Mishnah. The hagasha, the bringing of the kemitza, is done on the southwest corner. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, tu'una hagasha bekeren ma'arav is duromis, afchatas ha'ov avodasa bekeren ma'arav is duromis, v'azaz damahi ikar avodasa. So we'll say, just like the mincha, the kemitza is brought by the southwest corner, so too again, the chatos is also brought on the southwest corner. But mincha itself, where do we know this? From Minalon, tisanya lifnei Hashem. Because the pasuk says, "You shall bring it before Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Now Rashi points out over here, "Lifnei Hashem, Hakrevo sabnei Aaron lifnei Hashem, Hainu shemagia lemizbeach." We'll say that teaches me ultimately again that the mincha has to be brought on the mizbeach. Now, el pnei hamizbeach yachal b'darom. We'll say now, when the pasuk says it has to be brought to the mizbeach, I might have thought that's what. That's even true on the southern part of the mizbeach. Talmud lomar lifnei Hashem. Therefore, the pasuk says that ultimately, again, has to be brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKetzad. So, we'll say again, still, how does that teach me southwest corner? HaKetzad. Magisha bekeren ma'aravis duromis kineged chuda shal keren videyo. We'll say, teaches me that what? That I bring it ultimately, again, on the southwest corner, kineged chuda shal keren, opposite the height of the horn of the mizbeach videyo. And that is enough. Rabbi Elazar says, Yachol Yagisha le Ma'arava Shalkarin, Olid Roma Shel Karen. I might have thought that maybe it's brought to the west of the corner of the Mizbeach, the horn of the Mizbeach, or to the south. Amrit, so I would say the following. Komakom sha'ata motzei shnei mikro. So we'll say, whenever you have two psukim, echad mikayim etzmo mikayim chavero. Rabbi will say, one goes ahead and gives you certain information, also supports the information conveyed in another pasuk. Ve'echad mikayim atzmo umevatel chavero. And one pasuk upholds that which is written inside of it, but contradicts that which is written in another pasuk. So we'll say, which pasuk do we ascribe supremacy to? Manichin zeh mekayim atzmo umevatel chavero. So we'll say, leave aside the pasuk that solidifies its own information but contradicts its friend. The tovsin es shemekayim atzmo umekayim chavero. And I grab onto the pasuk which goes ahead and upholds its own truth and also the truth conveyed in another pasuk. And therefore, I will say, which by the way is an incredible musr in general, right? How again, MS Rabosai, so if you're the kind of person that ultimately, again, right, upholds yourself but also upholds others, so ultimately, again, that's a pasuk that endures. You're a pasuk that's only for yourself and do absolutely undermine other people's efforts, that's not a pasuk that endures. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kisha'ata omer el p'nei Hashem b'ma'arov. So also when the pasuk says that you shall go ahead, right, when the pasuk says el p'nei Hashem, which teaches me that it's done in the west, so heichan kayam tal pnei mizbeach. So basically, the problem is that pasuk contradicts or undermines the pasuk that says al pnei mizbeach, which speaks about the south. Ukishaato omer al pnei mizbeach b'darom. So we'll say ultimately, when the pasuk says al pnei mizbeach, which refers to the south, so kayam tal pnei Hashem b'darom. Basically, that also supports the pasuk of l'pnei Hashem, which also could be understood as referring to the south. I heichan kayamto. I, where did you learn this from? Where did you establish this? Amravashi kasavar haitana kula mizbeach betzafon kai. Because it will say ultimately again, this particular tana holds that what? That the entire mizbeach was situated in the north. So ultimately again, what we come out with is as follows. What we come out with is the Mishnah, the Gemara has successfully proven its assertion, namely that what? That the Chata Sa'ov was done on the Keren Dromis Ma'aravis. The Chata Sa'ov was in fact offered up on the southwest corner, and that Limud ultimately comes from its comparison to Karban Mincha. Just facts on the ground. What do I have? I have number one, that Karban Mincha, when it comes to the Mincha, Kemitza is done where? Kemitza is done where? Anywhere in the Azara. Hagasha, the bringing of the Kemitza to the Mizbeach was done where? Southwest corner. Same thing with Chata. So Rabosei, these are just Halacha L'maisa pieces. Same thing with Chata Sa'ov. Chata Sa'ov, Rabosei, again, was done where? Was done by the southwest corner. Interestingly enough, it's learned out from the Limud with Mincha. Good, Rabosei, let's go a little bit weiter. So the Gemara says, B'chol Makom, Haisik Shera. So remember again, I will say the interesting part is that the Mishnah had a strange verbiage. It said Chata Sa'ov was done on the southwest corner. Ubechom Mokom Haisik Shera, but in reality it's Kasher everywhere. Elazu Haisa Makoma. But its preferable place was on the southwest corner. So I'll say that's a strange Lashon, because if it has to be done on the southwest corner, then what? That has to be done on the southwest corner, which means it can't be done anywhere. So why do you have this flip flopping of Lashonos? To which the Gemara says, Behold. So the Gemara says, my karma, what does it mean when you tell me it should be done on the southwest corner, but if you did it anywhere, it's kosher, but its preferable place is the southwest corner? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. My karma, I'm Rav Ashi, Yachi karma, Bechol Mokom Haisek Sherlem Likasa. But I'll say, in reality, you could do the Malika, which essentially is the shechting of the karban, is the shechting of the karban ha'of. Ela Zahaya Mokoma Lahaza Asa. But I'll say, oh, this is very interesting. What the Gemara is making a distinction about is as follows. That perhaps is a chilik between Malika and Hazah, and the sprinkling of the blood. Malika, which Rabbi say, remember again, is the flicking off of the head with the fingernail of the Kohen, that can be done anywhere. That could be done anywhere. B'chol makom it's kosher. The Hazah, the sprinkling of the blood, Rabbi say, where is that done? That should be done on the southwest corner. Tanin lahadatan rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Malka, Malika b'chol makom, b'mizbeach k'shera. We'll say you could do Malika anywhere. Hiza dama b'chol makom k'shera. So we'll say ultimately again, you could go ahead and sprinkle the blood anywhere as well. Hiza b'lo mitzah k'shera. Furthermore, we'll say if you did sprinkling of the blood Mitzah means you didn't squeeze out the blood from the rest of the bird. The carbon is still kosher. Obilvad shite michota sikra ulemato midam anefesh. As long as Rabbi says you apply some of the dam anefesh below the red line on the mizbeach. So my kamar, what does this mean to say? This is what means to say, Rabbi. Here we go. Malka b'chol makom b'mizbeach kshera. Rabbi says if you do malika anywhere on the mizbeach, so ultimately the carbon is kosher. Mitzah dama b'chol makom b'mizbeach kshera. If you squeeze out the blood from the bird anywhere on the mizbeach, that is kosher. Top of samach dalid. Shem hiza v'lo mitzah kshera. Because it was in reality, as long as you did azal, the sprinkling of the blood, even if you didn't actively squeeze out the blood, the carbon is kosher. Ubilvad sheyitein michota sikra ulamata midam anefesh. As long as you apply some of the lifeblood below the red line. So we'll say, it turns out with chatas off, you need as follows. Malika can be done anywhere. Hazaa should be done on the southwest corner. Application of dam hanefesh should be done where? Beneath the red line, beneath the sikra of the mizbeach. So we'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you a short idea from the parsha.